Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, October 1st. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dan Johnson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Johnson.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study the daily New Testament reading. Tell us about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan.
Well, St. Paul's has been here for quite a few years, dating back to 1926 and even quite a bit before that. And we enjoy receiving the gifts that God has given to us in His Word and sacraments, and then sharing those gifts within our local community. One of the greatest opportunities that we rejoice in each week is our ministry called Hope Ministry, which is an outreach to individuals with developmental disabilities. And we've also begun a new outreach center in the downtown section of our community. And it's wonderful to see what the Lord allows us to do and to share His love with others.
Well, thanks be to God that you are there delivering that good news and His gifts there in Word and Sacrament in Hillsdale, Michigan. We're grateful for that. Tell us about this Matthew 6 text that we're about ready to study. Anything you'd want us to understand before we dig into verses 16 through 34 this morning?
Well, one of the things that continually is amazing to me and helpful is when we come into church, we begin with confession and absolution. And, of course, God doesn't need to know what we've done, and He knows it all already, but we certainly do. And the level of honesty that we have before the Lord, or transparency, I should say, is one of the most important things, for we understand there that God truly does love and forgive our sins. And it is that loves us and forgives our sins. And that's one of the things that transforms us in growing honesty and accepting the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. All of the texts here today seem to be ways in which we may be tempted to hide, either to gain other people's approval rather than the Lord's, or to find some distracting relief from our misery and sin. And yet God gives us that relief in Jesus. And so Jesus is, again, inviting us to repent and return to Him with all our hearts.
Very good. We're in Matthew chapter 6 today, verses 16 through 34. Listeners, if you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We are studying Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 34. Let's start at verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So fasting, tell us about this practice of fasting that we're discussing here in verse 16.
Well, even of course, for Martin Luther, fasting was kind of an assumed practice that everyone would fast. In our day and age, people talk of fasting, but quite frankly, more in the line of dieting, not in terms of a spiritual practice. But in Martin Luther's day, it was the norm. In our day, we've lost touch with that, and sometimes we may even look to a passage like this and just read, "Do not fast." Well, that's not what it says. In fact, in our confessions, it's, you know, fasting is a good practice, but the problem is when we fast not in a sense as a physical discipline and to aid us in our faith and in our prayers, but when we fast for other reasons. And so, especially in the text in which Jesus is speaking, in the time of the Second Temple, fasting was very much in vogue. It was common, expected. Everyone would be involved in it. But then also, when a practice becomes more common, so also the misleading distractions. And obviously, the one distraction is the one Jesus mentions here, to fast for other reasons than spiritual preparation and discipline.
So when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. So when you're doing this, when you're taking on this discipline, don't disfigure your face. Don't make faces about it. Yeah. Huh?
Well, make faces is a good way to look at it. Another way to think it would be to scowl like an actor on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting on a show. A hypocrite might be more. You think of it more like a show, like an actor. But who's the audience? Jesus was addressing this problem, and that the audience for a lot of the people wasn't the Lord. The one that to whom our devotion is directed, but the audience in this case were other people, and they did it for social acceptance or status. And oh, let's face it, that's a temptation for us today too, isn't it? Where we want to be accepted, and so people would want to make sure everybody knew, hey, I'm fasting today. Here, look at how much I'm suffering, and how good a person I am. And sometimes I wonder in our day as well if we don't put ourselves through things even just for our own, you know, self-satisfaction to say, well, I feel like I'm a good Christian because I've certainly done many good things, or maybe even a person would do that for fasting. But Jesus is directing people to think about who are you directing all of this towards? Are you putting on a show for other people only? So think of like an actor. And you know, like those actor's masks you might see on a wall somewhere to describe somebody who's putting on a show.
Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. What is their reward here?
The applause. They got the applause of their peers. You know, again, think of an actor on a stage, and at the end, they want to be the leading actor in the show, and we all are tempted, according to our sinful nature, to want to be the leading actor. And so they come back out on the stage. You've probably been to a play where, you know, the leading actors come out and the house just erupts in applause. They've received their reward.
But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, will reward you. So when you fast, wash your face, anoint your head, and wash your face.
Exactly. And you see what's happening there is that they're completely giving away the earthly reward from the crowd. It's a very important way that Jesus is teaching those who are truly believing and repentant and directing their prayers towards the true God to turn away from the crowds and, in a sense, to give all of that away, hide it,
mm-hmm.
Not in a deceptive way, but just to say, you know, I don't even want that because I know the Lord sees my heart. What a important teaching, and one that I think is both, yes, convicting in terms of our law, of the law and sin, but also very encouraging in terms of the cross of Jesus Christ, the one who sees us as we are and still has come to save us.
And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What is the reward here?
Well, you know, you think about what is the work that God requires, and the only thing that Jesus tells us is to believe in the one that He has sent. And as we look at God, who calls us to repentance through His law, and then shows us His love in Jesus Christ, God gives us everything that belongs to Jesus, and what a gift that is, you know, that He promises to give us, to look upon us as He looks upon His Son, and as we come before Him in faith, that as we confess our sins, He doesn't hold them to our charge, but He charges them to the cross of Jesus where our debt was paid. All of these things we receive. And then, of course, as you reflect upon the Apostles' Creed, which each of the three major parts of that describe the riches of God given to us, that through faith we begin to see all of the things that God gives us, you know, without any merit or worthiness in us, but that he gives us within the world, within Jesus Christ, our Savior, as the center, and the Holy Spirit through the gifts of faith in receiving what God provides in his word and sacraments.
Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here we're talking about treasures. We hear about treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What are these treasures?
Yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. The it's the more things you have, we need to spend a lot of time taking care of them, and we are just naturally become very attached to material possessions. We are created beings with a soul, but yes, we have a body and we live in a world that is filled with material possessions and things. And the temptation for us at all times is that we fall in love with all of these things. We become attached to them. Jesus is helping us to understand that such a misguided love is ultimately a loss, because all of these things can be destroyed and will be. They decay, they fall aside, moth and rust. How often haven't we seen all of those kinds of things? And, of course, thieves, and we spend a lot of time securing, locking, insuring, but we can't stop the fact that all of these things are lost. But the treasures that we have in Christ of forgiveness, life, salvation, even the resurrection of the dead and eternal life with our Savior for all time, that's something that no one can take away. And, one of the, and we'll get it into the next part here, but one of the most difficult things now is we spend so much energy securing and trusting in these things for happiness, but they can't deliver. And so God directs us here and reminds us that where our heart is, where our primary efforts and energies are, there is where your heart is going to be.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What are these treasures that we lay up for ourselves in heaven?
All the treasures of faith, you know, hope and love. When you, as you believe in Jesus Christ, it's like, and as, you know, the Holy Spirit continues to work throughout our life, he strengthens us in the areas in which eternal life can be found. Now, the important thing, too, here is to see that all of these gifts, within the world, our homes, family, and everything like that are indeed, the gifts that the Lord has surrounded us with. And one of the great joys to know is that through faith in Jesus Christ, as we look towards his second coming and the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting, indeed nothing is going to be lost. They say you can't take it with you, but in this sense you can. As you share your faith with your loved ones, and as they believe and they see that faith in your life, and as they come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all of the important things God secures for everlasting life. And we look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness, where Christ, we live with him in everlasting joy. These are things that are a Christian's great hopes. And in comparison, the things of this life that we see passing away, changing, decaying, these things we recognize they have no lasting value. However, they do have a value in that as we are generous with them and share them with others, they enable us to love others as Christ has loved us and to meet their needs in mercy, which is, again, a Christian's joy.
Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yes, again, you know, it's where you look to receive your purpose, your joy, your greatest value, where you invest yourself with the most energy, in these areas we become just deeply attached. And it's sometimes a person could even test it by saying, you know, where my heart is, just by looking at where I spend my energy, how do I see my satisfaction in life? Where is the passion of my life? And know that God calls us daily to repent and to remember the very first commandment, love the Lord your God, and you will have no other gods. And if, as we recognize the truth of that commandment, God again directs us to where true joys are found through faith in Jesus.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading today, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 34, with the Reverend Dan Johnson, pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, if you have questions, well, give us a call or an email. You can do that over the break or coming up in the next few minutes. Give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, KFUO@KFUO.org. We'll be right back right after this short break. Stick around for more His Time here on Worldwide KFUO.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
We live in a brave new world when it comes to infertility medicine, in vitro fertilization, embryo adoption, and assisted reproductive technology. What is the church to do? What comfort can we offer those suffering? LCMS Life Ministry and Concordia Seminary Life Team are sponsoring a free infertility ethics symposium for pastors, seminarians, commission ministers, and parish nurses, November 8th in St. Louis. Space is limited. lcms.org/life.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, October 1st. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Dan Johnson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan. We're in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Pastor, any other comments about any of the text up through 21, verse 21 before we go on to verse 22?
No, I'm looking forward to the verses that are coming up. They very much build a nice crescendo.
All righty. Verse 22 in Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It's a very, almost metaphorical language here. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light.
Yes, and as you think about this, we're of course not talking about just the physical ability to see. Sometimes a person would wonder, you know, well, does this mean, is this talking about my physical eyesight and whether I have the ability to see or my eyesight is poor? Really, throughout scriptures, and especially as we think of people and their response to the message of the prophets and to Jesus Christ himself, eyesight is always closely related to faith and the gift of faith that allows us to see the works of God, to see the gospel in Jesus Christ, to recognize him as our Lord and Savior. And without that gift of faith that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit, on our own, we're completely lost. We're in the dark in that way. Through faith, though, God allows us to see Jesus as our Savior. Now, you can imagine, though, if we were without faith, think of an eye that had ceased to function for any number of reasons, we would then say, well, then how can we see? This is a point that it's being brought before us here. The lamp of the body is the eye. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to see Jesus Christ. And if your eye is clear, your whole body is filled with light, the Holy Spirit fills us with the light of the truth of the gospel, drawing us to repentance and faith in Christ. But if your eye is clouded, your whole body will inhabit darkness. So, you know, if your eye is cloudy and is unable to see, if we don't believe in our Savior Jesus Christ and we reject his gospel, what else is there? We are completely lost and fumbling around. Jesus, again, helping us to recognize the value of the gift that he sets before us.
If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Yeah, if the light in you is darkness, then there's not much hope.
Again, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we see him, he said, also, I am the light of the world. All of these beautiful statements are describing profound truths to us. And the truth is that he is the one Savior, and that without him we are indeed lost and troubled in this world. We can't make sense of it. But with him, there is light, life, and salvation. And so he uses this good description. However, like you say, it's not simply to do with physical eyesight at all. Many people who are not able to physically see have perfect vision through faith in Jesus Christ. Many people whose eyes are pretty good when they go to the optometrist are completely unable to see because of unbelief. And so Jesus holds this in front of us now, that we would, and I sometimes see also in this next one here, not only the concern that we understand our problem without him and the true nature of our suffering, but also that we perhaps have compassion on others. For one who is lost and without Jesus, is how great that darkness is. And to continue in mercy, to share the gospel is most important, that the light of Christ can dawn in their lives as well.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve two masters, he says.
Yeah, right. And of course, the idea of money, or the older word mammon, mm-hmm. Kind of covers a lot of the wealth and material possessions that are so enticing. You know, in our world, you know, we're wired to that. I mean, we probably spend, if a person watches any television or if you read papers or other things, you see plenty of advertising, and that is, you know, the primary theme is you will have great happiness if you have this product, you know, and you can't probably fault a man for trying to sell what he has, but we also have to look at our own hearts and recognize that the more a person has, the more we must take care of it and be devoted to it and look after it. And also that's where we begin to, our hearts become attached to it. And so God is teaching us again, according to the first commandment, which, of course, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, is unpacked in all the rest of the commandments as well, in all of the ways in which, and here, mammon may try to lay claim to our hearts. You know, another way to think about it is to ask myself, you know, what is the love of my life? You know, is it a person, or is it a machine? Is it something that I just picked up at the store? And also, I like to think about every time I've brought something new home. For a while, it's kind of very engaging, but it doesn't take long before it just fades into the background of light. We have to see that it's very transient, the kinds of joys that we receive from material possessions. And mammon cannot hang in there with us, but the Lord is the only God, the one who is, the one who owns the throne of our hearts and who has brought us salvation in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is using this interesting language, you will either hate one or love the other. That's a extreme way of speaking to help make things clear. If you've ever seen a picture that's kind of foggy, you know, you can't make things out. And so Jesus sharpens the focus and uses words that are easy to understand, like hate and love, to describe how we treat the Lord. If we are in love with mammon, we give our full attention and our heart's desire and everything to the pursuit of riches, the accumulation of money, taking care of possessions, even working in a business, all of these things. We have to ask ourselves, but then where and how do I respond in love to my Lord? And of course, the Ten Commandments describe that, don't they? Love and love the heart that is reflected in loving to speak to the Lord in prayer, and then loving to hear God's word, the first, second, and third commandments. And those are given to us to bring us to repent and to trust in Christ and to walk in newness of life. This is a way in which God helps us through his law to see ourselves clearly and then to, in him, be saved so that our love can be the one that will be there for all time in Christ.
Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow. Do not be anxious, he says. I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?
You know, anxiety is one of the biggest maladies that we often experience in our world today. And how often aren't we, troubled to the point of seeking help, which is good, to address this. And here the Lord himself gives us help so that by his design, as we live according to his commandments and receive his grace, he equips us to be at peace in Christ. And this particular scripture here describes the loss of peace as we develop the habit of anxiety. You know, the way the human mind has been created by the Lord is that as we use it, it becomes very good at particular, thought patterns, whether it be, Lord willing, it's one of faith in Christ and trusting in his promises, meditating on his word and in prayer. Those are all very powerful antidotes to anxiety, for it reminds us about what is true in the love of God. Of course, we are tempted because Satan is indeed active and seeks to destroy us. And as we are tempted to leave aside the path that God has set out, other thought patterns can creep into our minds. Another way to look at that one passage is, do not brood mumbling. What are we to eat? What are we to drink? You know how it is. We can sometimes, in the dark of the night, when anxiety gets at us, you know, when we're tired and feeling down, and start to just recite, instead of prayers to the Lord, negative thoughts to ourselves, questioning the goodness of the Lord and His promise to provide. And those are like a factory that produces all of the cascading feelings, emotions, hormones of anxiety, and they make it very difficult for us to find peace. The trouble is, as we continue in that kind of a pattern, our minds go there very quickly and can sink into great anxiety even more. And, of course, at that point, it's often helpful not to have, you know, good pastoral care, good practice within your spiritual walk, perhaps also medical care as well, to do the hard work of developing a new devotional attitude throughout our whole life, so that these things that Jesus talks about so wonderfully are things that we can take to heart. And you look at lilies of the field and birds of the air, and Jesus is pointing out that none of these have found the need for anxiety, because God is faithful and He strengthens them, even as He does you and me.
We are our time is winding down here, Pastor. I want to move, because we're short on time, I want to move ahead to verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. With just about 30 seconds left, Pastor, let's focus in on verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just 30 seconds.
Very good. Well, I want you to think about the children of Israel as they were traveling across the wilderness. God provided them just enough water, just enough manna. Every step was through faith in Jesus Christ. And as they take those steps, journeying to the promised land, we as Christians today see our earthly pilgrimage, each step of the way, God providing for us for this day. And as we're strengthened in faith in Jesus Christ, indeed, all of our future needs are answered. So these are, no truer words, of course, could be spoken than the ones that Jesus speak. And these are particularly important for us today. We know that God gives us all things. Therefore, seek His kingdom first through faith in Jesus, and all these things will be given to us as well.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Dan Johnson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan. Pastor Johnson, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. My privilege. God's blessings.
Thank you. For you and all the saints there at St. Paul, God's blessings as well. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday Encore with Pastor Mark Wood. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.